Hi there, Christoph Trapp with the Authentic Storytelling Project. And today I want to talk about roles in content marketing. So we have decided to roll out a content marketing strategy. We know the goals. We know what we're going to talk about. We know our expertise. We know where we're going to put it on the website, on social, all the other channels that may or may not happen at some point here. But now we have to think about the roles. One of the things that's important besides all those things I just mentioned in a content marketing is the roles. Who is going to do what? And when are they going to do it? And who reports to who? And who is the decision maker? Who decides what content gets published? And who has veto power on somebody else's decision? So those things are important to think about, and then putting the right people in the right roles. So for example, let's say you have somebody who's really good at coming up with good stories, story development, those kind of things, figuring out what are the right questions, who to talk to, but they're not the best writers. So if you're going to write blog posts, they're probably not the people to write the blog posts. But they might be the people who go about developing the content, who go out and do the interviews, who go, who find the right experts, who plan, who come up with the summary of the story. One of the biggest things when we first start reporting stories, so to speak, for content marketing is also, what's the point of the story? Why do people care? So that's one role that we can think about. So some of the roles that come to mind. And we do want it to be a collaborative environment, but people have to be able to make decisions. There needs to be some kind of chain of command. Now, in my 2015 Content Marketing Hopes article, I mentioned how I hope corporate blogging at some point will become as easy as personal blogging. So, for example, on this blog, The Authentic Storytelling Project, I write a post. Sometimes I ask my wife to give it a proofread. Sometimes I don't, depending on the timing. And then I publish it. My chain of command is basically me. I'll overrule myself if I need to change my opinion. But there's nobody else that I run my content by other than myself. Now, I understand in a corporate environment that that doesn't work all the time necessarily. At some point, maybe, but today, we probably need some kind of approval process. Now, the shorter that approval process can be, the easier it will be for everybody involved for a number of reasons. Number one, you can be nimble. So if you have to publish something quickly, you don't want to have a 10-step process to get a 300-word article approved. You're not going to get the thing published in a half an hour. Same with social media. Social media, you have like 15 minutes at the very most to respond to a person when they talk to you. 15 minutes from the time they say it, not from the time that you get approval or not from the time that you saw it. So you need to have a pretty quick approval process to get those things out. So the fewer people, the better. But you do need people. So who are the people? Probably the owner. Who owns the blog? Who is going to be the ultimate decision maker? So if I have four people writing on the blog, we all agreed on the topics, we all agreed on the expertise, we all agreed on what it is we're going to talk about, what our goals are for the content, but somebody needs to be able to say, no, this doesn't fit, let's rework it, or let's kill it, or whatever. So somebody needs to be that final decision maker. We call him or her the owner. Editorial director. Who is in charge of actually figuring out what all goes with one piece of content? So for example, I might write a post, and here's my post, but I don't have a photo. I didn't take a photo. I could do a podcast or anything like that. There needs to be somebody who oversees the assets for the story. Now, on my own blog, I kind of play all those rules, right? I'm the owner. I'm also the editorial director. I figure out when I'm going to talk about what I'm going to say about it, what my assets are, You know, am I going to do a podcast, or am I going to do a written article or a video or take a picture? Am I going to, you know, what am I going to say about it? So the editorial director who kind of oversees those things. Now, if you have a real big organization, you might have a web team, for example. So this is somebody who puts the content on the page, who makes it look nice, who formats it correctly. Those are the people that, well, they're not expected to be the editors necessarily, but they can also find things and make suggestions. But their role is to really get on the site, make sure it looks good, make sure the metadata is where it needs to be, and the page titles are correct, and all those things. And then, of course, that's towards the publication stage. Early on, you also have editorial planning. Now, that could be the editorial director to a degree, but let's say you cover 5 different topics. So you probably need to have an expert in all those different areas who helps with the planning, who helps with the, what is the big message, the big story in this area. So that's really important to have that person as well to help the editorial director share some of those, to get those things flushed out. Because the editorial director, for example, might be an expert at storytelling, content marketing, but that person necessarily might not be an expert at coming up with the exact stories in the different subject matter areas. So something to think about. And then, of course, you need the content producers. Sometimes those can be the experts. Sometimes you can have ghostwriters, some who write for the experts. So they would interview the experts, and then they would write the articles in their voice. Sometimes you might have a video or a podcast like this. You know, I'm literally recording this podcast on my iPhone. That's how easy technology has become. Could I go into a soundproof booth and record it with mics, and would it sound better? Maybe just a touch. But honestly, most of the time, it sounds just fine for the web. And that doesn't mean that content quality on the web needs to be, is okay to be lower than other places, but you really can't tell. It sounds just fine. People pay attention to the content. Not that every once in a while you hear me, you know, jiggle my paper here on the side. So it's really not that big of a deal. So you have the content producers. So as you can see, it can take a lot of people. It can take different skill sets. So just because somebody has been a communications professional, for example, doesn't mean that they can run any of those roles, but they potentially can. The important thing is that you figure out who the right people are in the right roles, and then put them in the roles, and then define the roles. One of the biggest problems in content marketing when it's new to an organization is who does what role, who is in charge of what, and who actually makes the decisions, because it didn't used to be this way. Somebody else used to do it when we did it here. So it needs to be defined, it needs to be explained, and then your content marketing strategy can be off to a good start. Now, granted, we still have to come up with good stories, good things to share, relevant, engaging content. Thank you so much for listening. Christoph Trapp, The Authentic Storytelling Project.